G'day everyone. I didn't introduce myself properly before. My name's Trev. I'm part of the ministry team here at Holy Trinity, which is a great privilege to be a part of. The gospel reading today was quite interesting. Did you hear how the disciples said to Jesus when they tried to go through Samaria, which Samaria is a part of Israel, but it's a part of Israel who sort of had a falling out with the other part of Israel at the time of the exile. And so the Samaritans were seen as unclean and not really totally believing the things about God, and they'd mixed with a whole lot of other people. So they weren't on talking terms. But Jesus didn't mind them, but he was going to go through. But when the Samaritans heard that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, who they weren't talking with, they're like, nah, you're not coming in. And the disciples said this remarkable thing. Jesus, do you want us to call fire down from heaven on them? I know what to say next time we get stopped by a security guard not wanting to go somewhere. Right? It was just a bizarre thing to say. Why might they have said that? Can anyone think of a story in the Bible why they might have said that? Elijah, when he called down fire from heaven on the prophets of Baal. So the disciples at that point were probably thinking, wow, we're showing a lot of faith here, Jesus. We're showing a lot of faith. Let's bring down the fire. But no, Jesus said, nah, that's not my way. Not my way at all. And it's interesting that sometimes our faith can be misguided slightly. That we might be wanting to go, yes, Jesus, let's do this, but he has different ideas. So that's why it's important for us to say, Lord Jesus, how do you want us to live our life? How do you want us to be? To be asking by the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, and to not just go ahead with our own ideas without consulting him. Because even though there might be a precedent, it mightn't be the trajectory that God is wanting to take us now. Now, that's not part of my sermon. That's just an insight that I saw before. I'm like, it's funny that they were trying to show faith. But that's not what Jesus wanted at that point. In fact, he wanted to bring in the Samaritans and bring them into the household of God. Today, I'm actually going to be talking about something that could divide us. Politics. No, not really. It's not politics. It's something within church, which I'll get to after. But it's not a too bad divide, actually. It's something within our church life that we're like, we have different positions, some of us. And today, if you are falling on the different side of a position that I'm talking about, I'm not trying to change anyone's mind. In a sense, I'm going to talk about a change that has gone through my mind over time and leave it with you. So I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I'm going to bring my family up because I need to use them as an illustration. Please come forward, Bells. What family are you from? What family?
Bell family.
Trevor's family.
Trevor's family.
Bell.
And Cindy's.
And Cindy's. All right. So what's your name?
Charlotte.
Levi.
Saw.
Corbin. Corbin.
Josiah. Cindy.
Okay. And Trevor. Okay. What football team do we go for?
Sydney Swans.
Sydney Swans.
Sydney.
Sydney.
Sydney Swans.
Sydney Swans. Excellent. What basketball team do we go for?
Detroit Pistons.
That's right. Do you like basketball?
Kinda.
Sometimes. Which team do we go for?
Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons.
It's Detroit Pistons. Yes. Woo-hoo. Who do you go for? Boom! Oh, there's a big rivalry there. But our family, we've got a sports team. Did you have a choice to go for Sydney Swans?
No.
Did you have a choice to go for Detroit Pistons?
No.
Okay. They didn't really. They got brainwashed. No. They entered into what our family is.
It was God's will.
Thank you. We are Detroit Pistons. We are Sydney Swans. That's what our family does. Do you think when you're older, Charlotte, you could say, I don't want to be a Detroit Pistons, I'm going to leave?
No.
Good girl. What do you think?
No.
What do you think?
Yes.
You could, couldn't you? He could one day say, you know, these Detroit Pistons, I've had enough. I'm going to go to, not Chicago, I'll go to the Golden State Warriors. No. So they could when they're older. They could choose something else. But we are Sydney Swans and Detroit Pistons, and we're the Bells. Woo! Now, I've got one more thing before I'll send them back and I'll start to get to the Bible. What is this, Charlotte?
A vacuum.
What does it do? Levi, what's this?
A vacuum.
What does it do?
It cleans up.
Corbin Smith.
What's this?
A vacuum.
What does it do?
Suck up dirt in this.
This is what?
A vacuum.
What does it do? Can you at least pretend to be excited? What does it do?
It cleans up mess.
How does it clean up mess?
I don't know, like suction or
air.
Whatever.
Yeah. Air and suction, all right. So Charlotte knew it was a vacuum. Josiah knows that it sucks up with air and things like that. What's this, Cindy?
A vacuum.
What does it do?
It sucks up.
How does it do it?
There's a battery that powers it, and I don't know the scientific things. Mm.
Beat me up a bit more.
Oh, no, you've got it. Yeah, there's a battery. You're apparently, I have no idea what this thing is, actually. So, no, it's got a battery, and the battery somehow turns a motor, and then somehow creates a cyclone vortex in there, and somehow it sends that vacuum right to the bottom, and a bit of power spins the motor down the bottom. And do you know what it does? What Charlotte said, it vacuums. She doesn't know all the ins and outs of it, but she knows it picks stuff up and vacuums. All right, family, off you go. Thank you very much. So today I want to talk actually about something that's really important in the life of the church. You may have picked it up at the end of our Acts reading, where it said, Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered them that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter to stay with them a few days. So today I want to talk about baptism, which is a long way to get there. But I wanted to set it up in a way that we could go, oh, that's really interesting. Because my family, much like we are Detroit Pistons and Sydney Swans, there's something that we identify much deeper than those two. Every Sunday, we come to church. Church, where we worship God, is our number one. We are a part of the church. We are God's people. We are Christians. That's who the Bells are. Why? Because we're in the blessed position where me and Cindy both are walking with Jesus, and our family has decided that we're following his way. So that's who we are. And at the end of in Acts, they come up with some new people who are outside of God's church, and they realized that in order to become part of in God's new way in Jesus, that it was time for them to be baptized. And they were. We would recall fairly well Jesus' last words to his disciples before he went to heaven, where he said to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which is a great commandment for the church, for us to be preaching about Jesus, helping people to become disciples, and baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do you reckon these kids were just doing here? They were being disciples of Jesus. Because do you know what a disciple means? A learner. A learner of, or a student of Jesus is what a disciple is. And these kids here were doing at that point what Matthew 28 says. We were teaching them to be disciples. So I want to tell you about a bit of a disconnect in my family and part of my story, because we're told to baptize people when they become Christians. And it's really easy to think about that when they're people from outside of the church, right? So these people in this Acts reading, they are not Christians, they become Christians and they're adults and they go, oh yes, we need to be baptized. And so they were. In fact, early on in church history, so this is me when I had a different colour hair. I must be dyeing it now or something. That's a baptismal font outside the church in Ephesus. Right, one of the ancient things there. That's me in the middle, standing inside. Now, the baptismal font, do you know where it was? Not in the church. It was outside the church. Why? Because they didn't want anyone in church who wasn't baptized. So this comes with a bit of a conundrum, because if everyone who is in church needs to be baptized, and if children can't be baptized and part of the church, did they have to leave him in the car like at the casino? Oh, that's because in order to become part of the church, baptism's a part of it. It's really, really interesting. So the question is, well, outsiders coming in, that's pretty easy. They've got to be baptized. But what about insiders? Me and Cindy. We're both Christians and we've got children. What do we do? Well, let me tell you my journey. I was adamant that in order to become, this is when I was younger, in order, when you become a Christian or with children, that unless you can confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, so confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, then you can't be baptized because you can't really do it. So that's what I thought as I went through Bible college and things like that. But hang on. Now I've actually got thinking about it a long process to change my mind a bit. So I'm just letting you in on that. Remember when I was in Kyabram, I heard one of Andrew and Kim's daughters saying about when they were baptized as a little kid, they knew that they were always a Christian. They were baptized as a child and they always knew they were part of the promise. And so they didn't have to opt in because they knew they were already in. And that moment, where after hearing that testimony of someone who was in always and had always knew that the promises that were talked about of what Jesus did on the cross were for them their whole life, it made me, oh wow, I've never thought of it like that. So just so I'm not putting any acid on anyone who hasn't had their children baptized, Charlotte and Levi aren't, okay? So I'm not being judgmental in this. I'm talking with you about, well, what does this mean for the insiders? My kids are Detroit Pistons. My kids are Sydney Swans. But even more, they're Christian. And if the way, the sign and the symbol of being a Christian is baptism, well, they're Christians. They're part of the church, aren't they? Are they?
Yes.
And they've known it every day of their life, that this is their home, that this is their place, that they are in God's family. And so later on, even if they did do a profession of faith later on, they'd be saying, oh, I've known this my whole life, and now I'm saying it myself. So today I'm not going into deeply held, well, I am going into deeply held views as to whether we should wait for people to be able to confess at a certain age or whether they can be baptized early. But I'm not going to go deep into the Bible verses and things like that. I really want to start a conversation for us to be thinking about as parents and as a church. Well, baptism is really important because it is a sign of what God has done for us. It is a sign of what God has done for us. One of the things that is important is to consider whether our baptism is just something that is individual or whether it's something that is also a communal thing. And what I mean by that is when we confess ourselves as an adult, we can rationally decide for ourselves. And it's a pretty modern way that we decide individually something. Whereas if a family, like my family, is Christian, it would not seem odd that all the people who are Christian in the family were baptized. That would not seem odd at all. And that they, all of my children, are part of the covenant. The covenant that God has done for us, and the sign of the covenant in the Christian church is baptism. That's the sign of the covenant. And so one of the things that I've been wrestling with over a long time, and now I've come to a much different position than what I was when I was in my 20s, now I can see the absolute validity of families whose parents are Christian, where they say, I want my children to be baptized because they're part of the promise. They're part of the covenant. And much like my children would need to say, I don't want to be Detroit Pistons anymore, it is absolutely true of my children that they, if they were wanting to make a decision at some time, it wouldn't be, I want to decide to turn to Jesus. It would actually be, I'm deciding to walk away. Does that make sense? So the question will not be, will they come? Because they're there now. Now, they do no different things than what I do. Like, this is why I pulled out the vacuum, right? Charlotte knows that God loves her. You know that Jesus died upon the... Why did he die upon the cross? To save us. Wonderful. Levi knows more. Corbin knows more. Josiah knows more. Cindy knows more. I know less. But what Charlotte knows is enough to be in. It's enough to say yes to God. And if that's the case, well, it's good that she's baptized. So we're planning a baptism at some stage not too far down the track. But knowledge varies by age. In fact, when I'm 80, if I make it, I'll know more then about Jesus and what he's done on the cross than what I know now. I will. And as we've been going through this series on faith and Abraham, it's the trust in God's promises that gets us there, not by what we do or how much we know about the intricate working of the cross. So I'm going to try and land this. And again, as I'm saying, I'm not trying to guilt anyone into anything, but rather put it out there. This is why at times we do baptize children in our church. In fact, it's a great thing to do. One of the reasons we don't like it, I think, as a whole, is for so many years there's been this person come for baptism who's not a Christian, because you really can tell they're not, and another person together, they really have nothing to do with the church, and they come, they're wanting to make some sort of faith response to God and say thank you, but it seems hollow that they're making the promises of a Christian life when they actually don't really believe it. Some people get baptism with their children just to get into schools. So in many ways, that's what we're pushing against, I think, that so many people who weren't really engaged in the Christian life were engaging in baptism when they may not have actually been part of God's church in that sense. Now, that's judgmental in a sense. I agree there that anyone who comes and seeks the grace of God can receive that gift of grace. So God's the one who does the work in baptism, not us. But I think I'm just trying to explain why sometimes the evangelical church and reformed churches have been more reluctant with baptism of children. In the Anglican church, we have confirmation, which, so if someone was baptized as a child, when they come of age and they go, yes, those promises that were made when I was a little whippersnapper, they are mine. They are mine. And in a sense, it's that's really what people waiting for their children to be baptized are wanting, for them to be able to say it all in the one moment. But I can speak for my children that if they were to get baptized when they were 16 or 14, like which Josiah a year or so ago got baptized, the promises he made then were just as true for him in our family when he was a little whippersnapper. That's how I feel about that. And he's always felt in the church and a part of it. So confirmation is a way of confirming, yes, I've always been a part of this and these are mine. Whether if you're a part of the family with children or not, I really want to encourage you all to be talking to your children about discipleship. If they're not baptized, to be keeping that on the horizon so that they can be thinking about when will they say, yes, I am a part of this church, and take up that sign which confirms what is true about them, that they are in Christ, that he has saved them, that they have been brought from death to life, and that they are part of the covenant promises. I'm going to finish now with just reading that last bit about from the book of Acts. Now, I know I haven't made a theological case or from Bible verses the whole way through, really talking through some functional ideas here, and really want to start discussion. If you totally disagree with me, okay, go talk to Karen. No, I'd love to talk with you more about it, actually. But as you can see, my views changed slightly over time, and I'd really just want to put it out there that as a church, baptism is important. And whether you baptize your children or they wait till later, either way, let's keep them on the path of discipleship. Let's let them know whose they are the whole way through their life, that they're loved by God, that they're disciples on the road, and let's be in their life. As Andy said today, that there are things that get sent out to parents to help with that discipleship. This is the most important thing, one of the most important things you can do for your children in their lifetime, is to keep them on this path of discipleship. And if you don't have children and you're part of our church, there's ways that you can get involved again with helping people on the road to discipleship. In the book of Acts, when Peter got to the house, where everyone needed to hear this great news about Jesus. People who were outside of the covenant previously. Peter said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Hang on, that's not it. A bit further down. And Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men and women from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Peter said, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Well, brothers and sisters, in our church, may we keep being people who bring this good news to others. And as we do, there will be people who will rightly be baptized. We pray that some of our young people will find Jesus and want to respond with baptism. We also pray that people outside of our community will hear and will come to want to be a disciple of Jesus and be baptized into the life that he has. Let me pray for us as we finish. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the life we have in you. We thank you that in our baptism we are able to have a sign that confirms the inner work that you have done in us, that we are people of the promise and that we are yours. Help us to be a church that continues to speak about your grace and mercy. May we be good witnesses in word and deed. And may we continue to be a people that have people come to know you, to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And we pray that your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.